It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and discussing with America's only born-and-bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And yeah, it's about a minute past the hour. We begin this Titanic Tuesday broadcast on the 14th of November, 2017. And I still got audio problems. Oh, thank you very kindly, Brother Deacon Asa, letting me know. We got two streams of go-go. Oh, goodness me. That's thrilling to know. At least we've got both streams hot this evening. We'll write that in as a win. Yeah, so that means we shouldn't have any we shouldn't have any problems with TuneIn this evening, and Stitcher worked last night, so hey, we're off and running. Except for one thing. Stand by. I'll be right back. We'll have some drum loop for a minute. Wasn't even a minute, was it? No. Agnes is the one who make sure that all the little bits and pieces are ready and running prior to airtime. Agnes isn't here. Therefore, it falls to me to screw things up, which I did. But now it's unscrewed, and we're good to go. Thank you kindly, Randy and PA. Loud and clear on iTunes on my Mac. Yay! So that means that we have launched, and we're headed for orbit, I suppose. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and it is, in fact, Titanic Tuesday on the horn. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I had a note on Facebook a little bit earlier from Kenda observing something that I had noticed earlier in the day. Because I actually, my dirty little secret of what I watch in the morning. Right. Yeah. Well, former Republican campaign manager for John McCain, Steve Schmidt, has made a bit of a career for himself by being pretty hard on, Donald Dumbass. Right. Dolt 45. And today he said, and this is a quote, "I think that over these months, the vice president," this had to do with the catching out, the bold-faced lying of Mike Pence, Soul Neck Geek, in regard to people who meddled in the election who happened to be Russian and who knew about this and that sort of thing. Anyway, Steve Schmidt said, and I quote, "I think that over these months, the vice president's exposed himself as a titanic fraud. When it comes to consensual relationships between gay Americans, he's never tongue-tied on that. We don't hear from him on Roy Moore. We don't hear from him." Obviously, you caught the same word there that Kenda caught and that I caught, which means that I need to... are you out there? Are you out there, Ron and Raleigh? You need to get hold of that law firm you used to sue for gimmick infringement, because I think it's pretty damn clear that we've got some major league gimmick infringement going on by Steve Schmidt. Titanic fraud, indeed. And on Titanic Tuesday, could it be more obvious? So here we are. It's Titanic Tuesday on the horn. Thank you, News Ninja Gene. Tune in, stream confirmed. Thank you very kindly for letting me know. As well as to Marty. Good. By the way, going forward, the name of the Horn House Band, per Sister Carol Baker, is the Sensational Sex Clams. And why wouldn't it be, right? So we try to, you know, this is a listener-supported broadcast, and we try very hard to keep up with fundraising. And so consequently, thanks to Terrace, as well as to our subscribers, James in California, and Joseph. And thanks also to Matt in San Francisco. We closed the program with $100 to go last night. And with those four, that takes us down to, what is it? Yeah, $65 to go from last night. Which means the fundraising goal for this evening is now $265, which complicates things considerably. But suffice to say, one at $265, or ten at $26.50, or 26 and a half people at $10. Still haven't figured out how to work out that half a person, but I ain't Solomon, so I'm not feeling too terribly bad about it. Thank you for letting me know. Thomas, loud and clear on FYI Nation. Yay. So if you want to help out, headonradionetwork.com. Is there for you. Head on radionetwork.com, click on contribute. If you'd like to become a subscriber, we've only got three of them on this date of the month, on the 14th of the month. We only had one or two yesterday, one the day before. So all told, you know, we can use subscribers. And the best way to end, there's two ways to end the fundraising mentions on this program. 400 subscribers at $10 a piece, or, it's a big or, you know, we just go off the air. No more fundraising appeals. But as long as we have to raise the funds during each and every program, this is going to happen. So, yeah, we got $265 to raise this evening. It'd be great if that got out of the way, and if it doesn't, it doesn't. And I just have to keep talking about it. Yuck. Just a second. So, oh, by the way, the mailing address for the Horn, if you prefer, you know, U.S. Postal Service methods, the Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, B-E-C-K-L-E-Y, WV25801. And at the urging of Terrace, I have added another fundraising platform. If you wish to use this, then you are mightily welcome. You are mightily welcome to use Venmo, VENMO.com. It's a little bit more complicated for me to. It's a little more complicated for me to use, but it's there too. But also the Patreon.com/Bob Kincaid app is, subscription campaign is available as well if you don't like PayPal. Okay. So hopefully we've got all the housekeeping and stuff like that taken care of now. Oh, by the way, we were so swamped with orders for sensational sex clams last night at Horn Labs that we ran right through our supply. So if you were hoping to get your hands on some sensational sex clams capsules, you're out of luck. But there's always, and new from Horn Labs, Tenacious Thunbergia, only from Horn Labs. Pull no punches, take no hostages, post no bills. This site up, COD, FOB, BNC, ETC, ETC. That's right. Tenacious Thunbergia from Horn Labs. From the same folks who brought you those salacious sex clams, pernicious pumpkins, and other some such bullshit nutritional supplements. Introducing Tenacious Thunbergia, now with the equivalent potency of 69 saw palmetto capsules. It'll put pep in your step, a smile on your kisser, more junk in your trunk, and better yet, give you a raging boner. That's right, no need to even ask. That's what Tenacious Thunbergia is all about. You know, I never cared much for Thunbergia. What with the meek man and the powdery, meek mean and the powdery petals. So this day, to this day, absolutely. The only way I can get my recommended daily allowance of Thunbergia goodness is through these magnificent, delicious, tasty, savory Tenacious Thunbergia capsules. Hell, I sometimes even break a capsule up on the broadcast desk just before airtime and snort the Thunbergia powder just for the refreshing burst of flavor. I do. Did it just this evening. Yep. Ah, yeah, that's great. Good stuff. So order now, and with only three easy payments of $11.99, we'll send you a 3-month supply of Tenacious Thunbergia. That's enough Tenacious Thunbergia supplements to take you right through the new year. How about that? And if you order during the course of today's program only, we'll include 3 bundles of completely useless test strips so you can demonstrate the extent of your gullibility to all your family members in the comfort of your own home. Because, of course, we can't be a real broadcast operation unless we've got an imaginary nutritional supplement that does absolutely nothing for you, but that we put out there for your consumption on the assumption that you're gullible enough to buy them. Tenacious Thunbergia, only from the hard-working scientists at Horn Labs. Now, labor man, we've already addressed that. But, Bob, will it help maintain my boner? Oh, now it's not, now you don't just want it to give you one. Now you want it to help you keep one. Oh, the demands of being a bullshit nutritional scientist are many. Many indeed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tenacious Thunbergia. Capsule form. Crack one open today. Yes. Let's see, got a note from Ron and Raleigh. Bob, the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe will be sending a cease and desist order to Senator McCain's former campaign manager, Toot Sweet. Thank you, Ron. Thank you for taking care of that. That's why it's so important here at the Horn for us to have an all-volunteer staff, of course. Dewey Cheatham and Howe are not volunteers. They are handsomely paid whenever they get a big recovery against a gimmick infringer. Don't mess with them. They're even tougher than Lawyer Daggett. You remember the Great Arkansas Mississippi Steamship Company? Lawyer Daggett put them into receivership. Exactly. So, what, Steve? Steve in New York wants to know, now, wait a sec, will it get rid of a chronic boner? I've never known a boner to... How do you do that with the chronic? But, you know, there's always going to be somebody complaining out there. Oh, it lasts too long. Oh, it doesn't last long enough. Science can't make you completely happy. Some of it you have to find deep down inside. Yes, yes. So we're off and running with Titanic Tuesday, and I can't. We got to get this. We got to make mention because attention must be paid. Round and round the wheel went today. The NRA death lottery wheel spun and spun, and the little pointer clicked on the posts. Brrr. And when it finally came to a stop, the NRA death lottery's pointer was stuck on Tehama County, California. Not far at all from the stomping grounds of chat room moderator and Spacing Guild Master Sparky, who, being a Spacing Guild Master, has today folded space to become Man Cave. By the time the NRA death lottery was over, there were four posthumous recipients of the NRA Medal of NRA Natural Manure Medal of Freedom, and at least two living recipients thereof. Don't worry about it, Silent R. Lamar. Sorry, I'm late to class, Mr. Bob. My dog ate my note from my lawyer. Oh, my mom. Yeah, I'll bet the note would have been signed Silent R. Lamar's mom, wouldn't it? Exactly. But now, with every expression of Second Amendment freedom in this country, we've created a new award similar to the Purple Heart in the military, awarded simply for being wounded in action against the enemy. Well, if you happen to get shot or killed in a civilian NRA death lottery action in the United States, here at the Horn, we will award you, in the name of the National Rifle Association, the Second Amendment Freedom Natural Manure Award. Because that's the way the National Rifle Association views victims of shootings in the United States. They are the natural manure, in the sentence that penned by Thomas Jefferson, "The tree of liberty must be watered from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. It is its natural manure." Some of the recipients of the NRA Second Amendment Natural Manure Freedom Award were, as is often the case, children. Two children were also injured. The Los Angeles Times reports authorities described a chaotic scene in which a gunman in a stolen car appeared to pick targets at random in the rural Northern California county. They said the shootings appear to have begun as a domestic violence incident, but did not provide details. I'd say the shooting began in the hallways of the headquarters of the National Rifle Association, and every utterance that organization has ever made encouraging more people to buy more firearms to make it more likely that there will be more dead in this country as a result of Second Amendment freedom, which has absolutely nothing to do with private gun ownership and everything to do with the maintenance of a well-regulated militia, but who's counting? The gunman was fatally shot by sheriff's deputies. His name has not been released. The Tehama County Sheriff's Office said that it was dealing with 7 crime scenes and that 10 victims were being treated for injuries. Officials don't have a motive for the attack, but said the gunman seemed to fire at random and might have been in some type of dispute with neighbors. It started about 8 a.m. Pacific time, 11 a.m. Eastern, in Rancho Tehama, near Red Bluff, about 120 miles northwest of Sacramento. That is near indeed. Near indeed to our buddy Sparky. Assistant Sheriff Phil Johnston said it was all over in about 45 minutes. A semi-automatic rifle and 2 handguns were recovered after deputies shot and killed the gunman. Assistant Sheriff Johnston said, I know we have airlifted a number of students. I know that we have children that were attending school in a safe location at this time. Here's the statement that just sort of gave me a case of the... Well, I'm informed by Sparky that I'm saying the name of the county wrong. T-E-H-A-M-A. I guess it's Tehama. Or perhaps Smith. Yep, there it is, Tehama. That's a long A there in a place where a softened A ordinarily would exist. Okay, Tehama. Thank you. I will take note of it and not do that anymore. Tehama, Tehama County, and Rancho Tehama in California, where the NRA's, the pointer of the NRA's death lottery wheel came to rest. But this is the inexplicable statement gathered by the Los Angeles Times. They interviewed Jose Garcia, who owns La Fortune Convenience, a store there in Rancho Tehama. And Jose Garcia said, I thought this only happens to places like L.A. or New York. Maybe that's just what you say when they suddenly stick the microphone in front of your face. Because that's just not the case anymore. Sandy Hook, Newtown, was not New York or L.A. Aurora, Colorado is not New York or L.A. Blacksburg, Virginia is not New York or L.A. Orlando, Florida is not New York or L.A. Sutherland Springs, Texas is not New York or L.A. Nor is Las Vegas, Nevada. Anybody else out there, like Mr. Garcia, who thinks that this is a big city thing, isn't paying attention. But that's okay. Remember, one, it's too soon to talk about this and do anything other than send out thoughts and prayers. Oops, blam, pray. Again, thanks to Joy for that. Nothing but thoughts and prayers. And secondarily, there's really nothing we can do because freedom. That's why these people who used to be fully functioning, fully actuated human, actualized human beings, capable of their own agency, are now reduced, thanks to the National Rifle Association, to natural manure. You betcha. Mm-hmm. Coy Ferreira, a parent at the school, told KRCR-TV that he heard a series of gunshots through a classroom window and saw one young boy shot in the foot and chest and a second student shot in the arm. Both were alert and conscious, he said. The owner of a nearby cafe, Coffee Addiction, told the Times that she called 911 after hearing gunfire and screaming at the elementary school. She would identify herself only as Tiffany and said she heard about 100 rounds fired from what sounded like multiple guns. She went on to say that she and her husband and their four children had moved to the Rancho Tehama area from Redding about 7 years ago and said they've always felt safe. Hint, if you live in the United States of America, don't feel safe. As long as the National Rifle Association exists and continues to argue in favor of putting more firearms in more hands and more effective firearms in more hands, only a fool would feel safe. That seems to be the takeaway. Brother Deacon Asa says, I guess Prophet Malloy has been vindicated. He did predict after the Sutherland Springs massacre that there would be another one of these before Thanksgiving.
Well, his prophecy, yeah, I'm aware of that. His prophecy may not be entirely yet fulfilled. We have a full 8 days, 9 if you count the remainder of this one, before Thanksgiving. There are 9 days. That's 9 spins of the wheel up there at NRA headquarters in Fairfax, Virginia. Which inexplicably no one has, well, maybe it is explicable. Maybe it's the fact that they're afraid that the NRA will just get right busy and shoot people. No one has put the, you know, you got to think local media would cover it if, say, 50,000 people just sort of surrounded the National Rifle Association headquarters. But I guess not. And maybe there's really no point to it anyway, because they're not the ones making the laws. The legislators that they buy off make the laws. Silent R. Lamar says, the reason they say thoughts and prayers is that there's no thought and damn sure empty prayer. That seems about right. Marty asking, has anybody heard anything about the shooter? Name's not yet been released, according to the last I saw. A couple of updates from public figures. Vice President Mike Pencilneck Geek, who in his days as a member of the Congress took horse-gagging, blood-soaked boatloads of money from the NRA, saddened to hear the shooting in California, the loss of life and injuries, including innocent children.
We commend the effort of courageous law enforcement. We'll continue to monitor the situation and provide federal support as we pray for comfort and healing for all impacted. Yeah, I think at least four of the people impacted there, Mikey, are past your prayers, buddy. And, you know, this guy's an evangelical fundamentalist. There's no, you know, Roman Catholics and the like pray for the souls of the dead because there's some sort of ongoing bureaucratic process that happens after you die. But according to the theology of most Protestantism, like your Baptist, you know, the dominant cults like the Southern Baptist Convention, you die and it's straight to the gate, okay? There ain't no purgatory, no light in the candles, no saying of memorial masses or any of that stuff. That was all just popery. No, damn it, no, not P-O-T-P-O-U-R-R-I. But P-O-P-E-R-Y, that was popery. That was just a money-making scam, that whole purgatory thing. Yeah, the rest of us are, too. Marty says, I'm waiting for Alex Jones to call it a false flag. Yeah, but that's like waiting for sunrise. It's going to happen. You really don't have to sit around and watch. So I got no idea what the theology of Mike Pence is that he's praying for impacted people when the most seriously impacted people got all dead. I mean, if you want to pray, at least, you know, pray for somebody that needs praying for, you know, the living. Although I remember the words of Mary Harris Jones, also known as Mother Jones, who said, pray for the dead, but fight like hell for the living. She was, in her own inimitable way, pointing out that praying for the dead was sort of a wasted effort. Pray for the dead, but fight like hell for the living. See, that fight like hell for the living part is the part that people like Mike Pencil Neck Geek are not interested in. Because if you fought like hell for the living, you would be fighting against the National Rifle Association, and there's no way that a Republican is going to do that, because just as the Irish Republican Army was the paramilitary arm of Sinn Féin, the political arm groups that wanted England out of Northern Ireland, so too is the NRA the military arm of the Republican Party, or paramilitary arm. Anyway, Senator Kamala Harris, who is significantly lacking, I must remind you, in ideological purity. Senator Kamala Harris said, heartbroken by the news of a shooting at an elementary school in Rancho Tehama, grateful to the officers and first responders on the scene, I'm closely monitoring the situation. Not a lot to monitor anymore, I'd say. Now we're just down to the part where we don't talk about guns in America, and we don't talk about the proliferation of access to firearms in America, and we damn sure don't talk about little shot children in America, because it's too soon, okay? Stand by, please. Thanks for letting me know. Apparently there's a technical issue with HeadOn.live, but, well, it wouldn't be the horn if we weren't having technical difficulties. You know, Arthur, I'm good for a jingle on that. Arthur says, I bet they have a fill-in-the-blank form letter for the president and vice president for gun deaths now. You're assuming they get a letter!
See, that's the beautiful thing about thoughts and prayers. Once you've tweeted out thoughts and prayers, you're done. Because you can't write down thoughts and you don't send them your prayer on paper. God doesn't get mail. What does God need with a starship? And there's our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening. You just tell them that you've done your thoughts and prayers, and you're done, and you don't have to talk about it, and there's no funerals to attend. You don't think for a minute that Donald Trump is going to get on a plane and fly all the way across the country and go to a funeral in Rancho Tehama, California, do you? I mean, that could interfere with his golf, especially if it's, like, on a weekend. No, we'll just we just get them their Second Amendment freedom NRA natural manure certificate and move on. That they've got a lot of, and yes, it's definitely fill in the blank. Whereas on the blank day of blank 2000 blank in the city of blank in the county of blank state of blank United States of America blank. Was blank either wounded or killed in an expression of Second Amendment freedom, blank, insert name of victim here, is hereby awarded the National Rifle Association Second Amendment Freedom Natural Manure Award. Given under my hand and seal this blank day of blank, 2000 blank, signed, Wayne LaPierre, signed, Donald J. Trump, signed, Mike Pencil Neck Geek, signed, Paul Ryan, signed, Mitch McConnell. And they've got machines, they've got signing machines for all of those important signatures. It's too soon, observes Marty, unless, of course, the shooter isn't exactly of the Caucasian persuasion. But I think it's a pretty good guess that this guy was Caucasian because he has not been identified either as a thug or a terrorist. Because that's how, you know, that works. But it is Titanic Tuesday. And there are Titanic stories out there to... to sort of give meaning to Titanic Tuesday. This is cultural and stupid and not part of the major news of the day. Oh, wait, before we go there. A little bit of a follow-up. I mentioned the story last night since we're talking about law enforcement stopping this attack in Rancho Tehama today. Well, that's a situation where immediately opening fire on someone makes sense because they've already manifested a willingness to do harm to others. Not so much the sheriff's deputy who gunned down a 14-year-old boy on the Bad River Reservation last week. No. I have in front of me a witness's description of what happened. I wanted to share it on my Facebook page, but it was unshareable. So instead I photographed it so I could share it with you this evening. This is what happened
as Josh Perro, 14 years old, was gunned down for being a 14-year-old with a butcher knife. Butcher knife. Not an AR-15. Not a semi-automatic handgun. Not a shotgun. Not a bow and arrow. A butcher knife. This was written by Sherry Perro, who says, "My nephew was killed. Ron White was his neighbor, lives right next door. Lies, rumors, and a cover-up. He was a child gunned down. This is the beginning of a justice journey. We will not let this go." The neighbor, Ron White, wrote this: "My phone rang, and upon answering it, I was informed to lock the house because the cops called and said there is a person shooting a gun in our neighborhood, and they've told us to lock down all the tribal buildings. So naturally, I was concerned, yet we heard no shooting. Supposedly, 'drop that knife' was shouted several times in a whisper. The only thing we heard was bang, bang, two quick shots. Looked out my window to see a cop pointing his gun at the ground, at the road, and my immediate thoughts were disbelief. What the hell? Hell no, this isn't happening. This isn't real. I ran from my bedroom to the front room to get a better look and seen someone laying face down where he was pointing his gun. I immediately hit record on Facebook Live and went outside and asked the cop, 'What the hell did you just do?' He shouted at me to get back in your house. 'Fuck you,' I answered. 'Get the hell out of our neighborhood. We live here.' He didn't say another word to me, but kept his gun pointing at whoever he had just shot. As I tried my damnedest to see who this human being was that lay suffering for air in the middle of the road, I knew was totally incapacitated, yet was still to be could be treated as a threat. So I expected a gun was in his hand. I said, 'He's no threat to you, so stop being afraid and at least try to help him.' Whoever was laying there attempted to pick his head up and looked right at me and was again ordered to 'Keep your head down!' twice more. He did, slowly, and stopped breathing. Come on, dude, be a man and help him because you've done enough damage already." No response from him. He stayed that way as a bunch of EMTs and other cops arrived and would not allow the EMTs to ply their trade, so they were forced to stand and watch also. The cop would not let the EMTs near the body of the child that he had just shot. He was laying facing the southeast, and the cop was facing the west. Different people were coming and going in an attempt to find out who was laying in the street, but couldn't see to recognize him until his grandma showed up and screamed, 'That's my baby!' Another sheriff immediately started shoving her and getting more and more upset by the second. I shouted at him to, 'Don't be mean to her,' and shouted at the only one I knew by name, 'Brennan, help her! Don't let him be mean to her!' And he grabbed his co-officer by the shoulder and made him stop shoving her and appeared to console her. Only then were we able to stop trying to figure out who this was with the gun that necessitated being shot and lost his life right in front of our eyes. They consoled their fellow officer and led him away. Finally, we could relax a little as his gun wasn't scaring everyone witnessing what was happening. As they frisked, who we now knew was Jason Perro, they threw something to the side, and I shouted, 'That isn't a gun! What the hell?' The EMTs were finally allowed to try to save him and started doing chest compressions ASAP. We knew he was gone already. Brennan walked over and asked what I seen, and upon hearing me say I only heard two quick shots and seen everything afterwards, but asked him, 'Who has the gun that was shooting around here they called me about?' He didn't answer my question and instead rushed away to question all the neighbors. Finally, the DCI showed up, and by then, I was pissed. He tried putting his badge in my face. He was in disbelief and said, 'We're not with them, but we're asked to come to investigate to find out exactly what happened.' I kept asking, why didn't that cop use mace, taser him, fire a warning shot? Why shoot to kill? He tried to answer, but his words just didn't ring true. After I ran out of questions, he started with his, did you know that young man? Yes, and he's a child. His questions were leading questions about Jason's mental health, and I cut him off from that point of view. No, Jason was a nice kid, and his entire family are nice people. He left to do what Brennan did, question the neighbors. So now we're left with questions because it doesn't match their official press releases they put out and keep changing. Meant to steer the general public that they are the victims here, and that's bullshit. They ruined our peace of mind, our sense of security, and our once peaceful and quiet neighborhood. We don't trust them at this point. And the story that makes no sense. Jesus. Two opposite accounts of police action. On the one hand, what appears to be justifiable use of deadly force. On the other, absolutely unjustifiable use of deadly force. Good God, all the guy had to do was get back in his car and call for backup. Well, that's okay. He's enjoying a nice paid vacation right now. Right? Sure. Thank you. Thank you to Jeremy. Jeremy kicking in a little bit ago to take the $5 off the $2.65. It's put us to $2.60. Thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy says, in memory of Russ and fuck cancer. I'm sorry, Jeremy. I'm deeply sorry. Kind of hard to go into something silly and vacuous after a story like that. Oh, well. There are all kinds of such stories. All over the country, I suppose. Let's see. Oh, it is. It is what it is. It's Titanic Tuesday and some Titanic behavior. Yeah, this is stupid and vacuous. But it sort of has a relevance and a back reference. We all know precisely how little over-the-air broadcast television I watch. Something approaching zero. Got an email here from Robert in Australia. Subject line, some good news. Jesus, Bob, just another day in America. And you know, it is. And for those of us who would like to talk about the problem of guns in America, even talking about it is probably meaningless because nothing is going to be done about it. And I realize that that kind of cynicism makes for a self-fulfilling prophecy. And I apologize for it. I'm heartily in support of doing something about it. There are some things that can be done. But before it can be done, you have to overcome the pervasive wealth power of the National Rifle Association. You know, a few years ago, the Klan was significantly hindered in its efforts when it was sued and effectively bankrupted. The same thing happened with Randall Terry's Operation Rescue, when it was sued for its efforts harassing women seeking to their seeking care for their reproductive needs. But no one has yet figured out a way to sue the National Rifle Association into submission. Because they're just that powerful. And until we figure out some way to deal with the National Rifle Association, until we figure out some way to take their godforsaken money out of the process, there's not going to be a whole lot of action, a whole lot of movement towards stopping the shooting gallery that the National Rifle Association has transformed the United States into. So as Robert says, Jesus, Bob, just another day in America. Meanwhile, here in Australia, some good news. The results just came out from the Australian legally non-binding mail-in same-sex marriage survey. The question was, should the law be changed to allow same-sex couples to marry? Fairly straightforward. Approximately 80% of Australians who received the survey responded. Of those who responded, 61.6% voted yes, or 7.82 million people. 38.4% voted no, or about 4.87 million people. The Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, has stated that he'd take the law, he'd like to have the law changed by Christmas. This does not mean it will be changed. The question now has to go to the Parliament, who may still vote no. Cost of this postal survey was between $120 and $160 million Australian dollars. Meanwhile, Robert in Oz says, Australian federal parliament is having a bit of a problem. Somewhere between 5 and 10 members of the Senate have had to resign when it was discovered they have dual citizenship, which you're not allowed to have if you wish to sit in parliament. If it gets bad enough, we might be looking at a really early federal election. That is good news, and hopefully they will take it to heart and simply enable something that only makes perfectly good sense. Same-sex marriage. Marriage equality. And that provides a nice segue, it does, for the story that I was having a hard time getting to out of a shooting story. Like I said, I don't watch a lot of over-the-air television. I tend to watch stuff on Netflix and Amazon Prime, and there's a nasty little Netflix scam going on out there saying that you need to update your billing information, and if you do, you're going to get robbed. It's not Netflix. It's a different kind of robbery. But over on the TLC channel, where they have all of these reality television programs, including but not limited to Duck Dynasty and that reality program they had for a good long while about the Duggar family, until it turned out that one of the Duggars was engaged in a nasty bit of incest against his sisters. Well, they couldn't get rid of the Duggars entirely, so they took one of the abused sisters and her fundamentalist husband and made a reality program about them. And apparently the name of that show is Counting On. And it features someone named Derek Dillard, who is the husband of one of the women who, as children, were sexually molested, sexually abused by their brother. Insert banjo music here. I see these stories and I wonder if it's just a matter of ginning up publicity, because that's the sort of world where there's no such thing as bad publicity. I'd like to hope not, but anyway, Derek decided that he didn't like or disapproved of And no one ever told him to mind his own business, apparently, that it wasn't for him to approve or disapprove of Diddley in this matter. He disapproved of someone else with a program on TLC by the name of Jazz Jennings. Jazz Jennings is someone I also would not recognize were I to meet them on the lonely streets of my little West Virginia small town. But I am informed by the article that Jazz Jennings is a trans woman whose reality television program is about her transition. And TLC issued a press release saying, "We want to let our viewers know that Derek Dillard has not participated in Counting On for months, and the network has no plans to feature him in the future. We want to reiterate that Derek's personal statements do not reflect the views of the network. TLC is proud to share the story of Jazz Jennings and her family, and will continue to do so." Because what Derek Dillard did was to talk about his personal feelings about Jazz Jennings. Now remember, he is the husband of a little girl with whom who was subjected to incestuous conduct by her good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, quiverful brother. Not once but twice did Derek Dillard air his personal views about Jazz Jennings, which, you know, he's welcome to have as long as he keeps them to himself. But even though this is not Prayer Meeting Wednesday, this is a titanic act of stupidity by a guy who's cashing some apparently pretty decent paychecks, and apparently those apparently decent paychecks were not enough to assuage his moral fury over having to share the same television for-profit network with a transitioning trans woman. He said, Derek Dillard did, he said, "A pity, Jazz, for those who take advantage of him in order to promote their agenda, including the parents who allow these kinds of decisions to be made by a child. It's sad that people would use a juvenile this way. Again, nothing against him, just unfortunate what's on TV these days." And just out of curiosity, because I wanted to see why he would use male pronouns for someone who identifies as female, I did bother to go and look up some images of Jazz Jennings. If Jazz Jennings is a him, I'm Queen Victoria, okay? You get the idea. Him. All he had to do was mind his own business. But that apparently is something that is not taught in good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian churches anymore. Nor is keep your hands to yourself if you're paying attention. Oh, okay, Jeremy pointing out, he always tweeted that it was funny that TLC features a show of a man trying to be a woman and promoting the homosexual agenda. Well, I guess TLC got a little sick of that. You're right, because at one point in time, this Dillard creep had said, as Jeremy points out, "What a oxymoron, a reality show which follows a non-reality. Transgender is a myth. Gender is not fluid. It's ordained by God." I guess incest was too then, wasn't it, Derek? Jesus, the POSs. Jazz Jennings responded to the extent that she did. She simply said, "Every day I experience cyberbullying, but I keep sharing my story. Today was no different." Meanwhile, Derek Dillard said he's just trying to have a mature discussion about his concerns as a Christian. See, that's the problem, those concerns as a Christian. Keep your concerns as a Christian inside your Christian church and inside your Christian home and inside your Christian heart, and we won't have a problem. It's when you try to force your concerns, which is another way of saying your beliefs, on people who don't buy into your bullshit, that's where the trouble comes in. But they can't figure that out. But what's interesting is if you simply replace the word Christian with bigoted idiot, the sentence meaning doesn't change much. Dillard continued to respond to his latest statement, saying that he's just trying to have a mature discussion about his concerns as a bigoted idiot. See? Doesn't change the sentence in one iota. He also speculated as to the capability of a child to make decisions about their gender identity. It ain't a decision, it's a recognition. Great googly moogly. So TLC has told him to take a hike. How long it stays, how long he stays hiked, I don't know. Because I remember when we went through this whole set piece with the duck dickheads. But in this moment, as stupid as it may seem, and I have no desire to watch reality shows of any sort, frankly, I have enough to keep up with keeping up with the information of the day that leads to the creation of this program, so that I really don't have much time for anything in the way of television. I'll watch, I binge watch some series. Agnes and I, for as shameful and vacuous as it is, we watch. We watch Outlander, wherein recently they bogarted my family history, but oh well, what are you going to do? And it's fun little escapism, and it's fun predicting the next plot twist, because it is eminently predictable. And someday Westworld will be back, and someday maybe The Expanse will be back. And there's still a rumor that Altered Carbon may yet be a series, and I'll watch that. There's some good movies here and there. I watched A Dandy last night. Marty's telling me to binge watch Stranger Things. Not that up on Stranger Things, But what I don't have time for is a lot of over-the-air broadcast TV. When I turn on my DirecTV now, it's generally either news or sports. I sat there and watched the WVU K-State game over the weekend, and watched for the third game in a row as my beloved Mountaineers tried to play kneeling ball and snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. Later that evening, I watched a real, live, honest-to-God nail-biter from Starkville, Mississippi, as a whole lot of people out there thought that the Crimson Tide were actually going to lose to Mississippi State. They did not realize that the fourth quarter belongs to Alabama. I did not get to watch the beatdown that Auburn put on Georgia, because... The problem with DirecTV now is that you don't get any ABC, CBS, NBC, or Fox, you get cable stuff. So if it ain't on ESPN or Fox Sports, and it's college football, you don't get to watch it. But, well, I mean, what do you want? What do you want, Steve? Steve from Georgia stances, and you goon on my dogs. Well, sir. Well, I mean, I'm sorry, it was a beatdown. Ugga went down onto the plains and come back sort of neutered. Yeah. But that's okay. The dogs are still going to be the champions of the not particularly impressively strong SEC East. And who knows? I mean, they could beat Alabama. Or Auburn, depending on how the Iron Bowl turns out. Damn, it's going to be a dandy this year. Oh, okay, well, I misunderstood Marty. No, I have not watched Stranger Things. Should I watch Stranger Things? So, well, yes, Steve, I know. Of course Georgia is still number one in the SEC East. That's because the SEC East has schools like South Carolina and Florida and Tennessee. You'd be number one, too. So, but this is no place for partisan college football rivalry. But I don't have a lot of time for that sort of television. And it just and even if I had the time, I cannot imagine a world in which I would watch Ma and Pa Kettle do the kids. You know, that Duggar bunch. And I'm guessing nobody else around here does either. Robert in Australia says, every time I turn on commercial television, there's a commercial on. I don't know how I manage to do it, but I do. And then I skip channels, and they all have commercials on, so I turn it off. Happens to me, too. At which point I repeat something that my father said, going back into the early 1970s, the commercial would come on, and my father would say, I'll be so glad when we get pay TV. And then HBO came along, and he looked at it long enough to realize that it was commercial. No, they're still running. They're still running promos. They're still running stuff between the programming. That means they're still selling me something on a channel that I'm actually paying them to deliver me. No, that's out too. Clarity pointing out, yeah, but Morning Joe has got your morning. Well, yeah, because it's newsy, and it has a certain gossipy panache to it. And one of these days, look, I watch Morning Joe for the same reason that some people watch NASCAR. People watch NASCAR for the wrecks, and I watch Morning Joe knowing that one of these days Mika is just going to knock the ever-loving BJ. She is going to knock the taste right out of his mouth. Because I'm, I'm manipulable that way. Clarence with a note. Bob, what's your thought on Trump getting those black UCLA athletes released in China? Oh, he'll, of course he'll take credit for it. It's only natural. Because in every other regard, he was a pitiful failure in Asia. And so they'll throw him a bone so that he'll feel like, so that he won't notice that he got his pocket picked. And maybe we'll talk about that here in a little bit, too, because there's a West Virginia angle on that. No, damn it, no, Anatole, I am not watching Morning Joe because one of these days Mika will get naked on camera. My God, when I turn on Morning Joe, I'm waking up next to a naked woman. What do I need that for? You people. Randy in PA taking in the commercial aspects. Try Fluzamax, the newest drug with a side effect of death. By the way, Fluzamax has the same board members as the for-profit media. How about that? Fluzamax. I thought it would help you in obtaining maximum floozy. Larry, meanwhile, on the situation in China. Thank God we need another year and a half of Trump with LeVar Ball together on the trail talking smack. Oh, Bob, you'll love it. Okay, so it's 11 minutes past the hour. We did manage, thank you, Jeremy, to take off that $5 on the 265, so we're down to 260. So that's a little more manageable from the ciphering standpoint. Mm-hmm. One at 260, two at 130, four at 65, eight at 3250, 16 at 16 and a quarter. And 32 at $8.13, because we'll round up from the 12.5 cents and put that half a penny toward the winterization of the fabulous pancreas-shaped swimming pool here at the Horn Mansion compound. If you'd like to get involved in the conversation, you're more than welcome. You know how, I presume. 304-574-8178 or Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype. Either way gets you into the program. What's this, Isaac? The mornings I wake up next to a naked woman, I'm not watching Morning Joe, Bob. Really? 3 hours, Isaac? Oh, you got me beat by a mile there. Sooner or later, we turn on Morning Joe. I mean, you know, coffee and all that other stuff. And then again, just remember, our 25th wedding anniversary will be May of this year. So, just saying. Right, but, you know, we can't all be you, Isaac. Jeez. All right, break time. I've started something. Jack in Shreveport says, Morning Joe. Jeebus Christ! This morning there was so much disbelief by Joe that his party could be this fucked up, you'd think he must be joking about it. He went on that way for a long time. Crap. Has he not taken any information that hasn't been prepped for his show? Well, no, I guess not. And the thing is, he keeps referring to it as my party, even though there was a big to-do a few months back about how now he is a principled independent. No, that was not our 25th anniversary. That was our 24th anniversary, Marty. Right, exactly. All right, time for the break. And let's see, we've got somebody online, so stay there, please. What would make for a good bumper in a situation like this? No. I'm going to have to think of something. I saw one clip earlier today that didn't know. No. This will, it's also Tuesday, so that means we've got the Green News Report coming up. Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. Oh, great googly moogly. Oh, why not? Haven't done this in forever. This is the horn. Okay, that ain't gonna happen. Darn it. By the way, Scott and Punky say... It's been a while since I dropped DirecTV Now, but in the months since, I've seen multiple Google News items about lots of local network TV affiliates being added. I'm not sure if any of yours have been added, but it's worth checking. They're not on the list so far. Okay, May of this coming year. God, be picky people. May of 2018. This coming year. Jeez, Marty. Of the things that okay, so you know there's not going to be there, we're, all right, we'll just do it this way. We'll just go straight to the Green News Report. How's that sound? In which case, we'll be right back. I'm Bob Kincaid.
At UN climate talks in Bonn, Germany, the U.S. is a bit schizophrenic. New report shows Paris Agreement targets are not nearly enough. Senate approves fossil fuel lobbyist for top EPA air pollution position. Plus, Puerto Rico's governor estimates damages after Hurricane Maria are $95 billion.
All of those damages and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
So, what will make strong hurricanes more and more frequent? According to our government, the answer is none of your f***ing business. Stop asking so many questions.
Agreed. If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, well, after a main power line went out in Puerto Rico late last week, dropping the island from 40% power capacity back down to 18%, that has now been fixed. And now, 7 weeks after Hurricane Maria made landfall, still 50% of the island is without power.
Yes, the recovery is going extremely slowly, and Puerto Rican Governor Ricardo Rossello on Monday estimated that rebuilding the island after two back-to-back hurricanes, both Irma and Maria, will cost $95 billion. That's an amount roughly equal to the island's entire annual gross domestic product. Rossello asked Congress to cover the costs of the reconstruction price tag as, quote, an important step to demonstrate that the federal government will treat Puerto Ricans like any other American citizens.
Oh, sure. The federal government giving $95 billion to Puerto Rico. Good luck with that, Puerto Rico.
Meanwhile, in Texas, which is now rebuilding from Hurricane Harvey, a new MIT study calculates that climate change made Hurricane Harvey about six times more likely, and that the state's annual risk of similar extreme rainfall events in any given year is now 18% higher thanks to global warming.
Thanks, global warming.
Meanwhile, in the U.S. Senate, the majority Republicans voted strictly along party lines to confirm fossil fuel industry lawyer and lobbyist William Wareham for the number two spot at the EPA. Wareham has spent his...
Let me just break in there. That's the fossil fuel lobbyist who now is the number two guy at the Environmental Protection Agency.
That's right.
Got it.
Wareham has spent his career suing the EPA to roll back clean air standards that restrict mercury, silica, lead, and smog.
And we call that regulatory capture, do we not?
Yes, we do.
Well done, fossil fuel industry.
At the United Nations climate talks, now underway in Bonn, Germany, international negotiators are hammering out the mechanisms for 195 nations to reduce their emissions under the landmark Paris Climate Agreement. But a new report from the United Nations Environment Program calculates that the current national commitments under that agreement are only about one-third of the reductions needed to avoid shooting past the agreed-upon target of no more than 2 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial temperatures. However, the report also concludes that accelerating the transition to solar and wind energy, replanting forests, and increasing the energy efficiency of our cars and buildings can help close that gap.
That sounds like a great idea. I suspect everyone in the world except the U.S. will be interested.
Well, last week, the United States became the only nation on the planet not included in that agreement. That's thanks to President Trump's intention to withdraw from the Paris Agreement in 2020. But a Trump administration delegation is attending the Bonn climate talks anyway.
And I hope they're being met with boos and hisses.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. On Monday, they hosted an event to promote so-called U.S. clean coal and nuclear energy technology to developing countries as a way to cut their emissions. And, of course, they were interrupted by a climate action youth protest.
So we claim to be an American.
A shadow delegation is also representing the U.S. in Bonn, a coalition of states, cities, and businesses seeking to highlight positive U.S. climate efforts and strike their own deals on the subnational level.
Are they better singers?
I hope so. But their schizophrenic parallel U.S. presence is creating some confusion for other countries, according to the New York Times, who aren't quite sure who to trust. Former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who is leading the state action coalition, on Monday criticized the Trump administration and noted that, thanks to the states, the U.S. is already halfway to meeting the Obama administration's pledge to cut U.S. emissions.
It is important for the world to know the American government may have pulled out of the Paris Agreement, but the American people are committed to its goals, and there is nothing Washington can do to stop us.
Well, that's good to hear, but Washington is going to keep trying to roll the clock backwards. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us, follow us, and share us worldwide, please, on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Okay, and for want of a bumper, that will have to do for the break for the for this Titanic Tuesday, the 14th of November, 2017. And over on Skype, we have We have our buddy John somewhere out on the road. Hey, John.
What's up?
Been a while. How are you?
Oh, I'm in Southern California doing 3 miles an hour, 20 miles an hour, 6 miles an hour, 20 miles an hour, and maybe eventually get up to 55. Yay!
That 55 part's entirely wishful thinking, right?
Right now, yeah. It's actually, no, I take that back. I just hit 55 on this particular stretch. So we'll see what happens.
Won't last.
What you got when you have an entire southern part of this bloody state that has almost no regional transportation system and lots of cars. But anyway, it occurred to me I haven't heard your dulcet tones for a while, so I'd give you a call. And
well, I'm glad you did.
Jaw with you a bit, as my granddaddy used to say back in the days when coal was master. Yes, my family's from the other part of the world too.
And this it kind of still is, even though the coal's not that important anymore.
Yeah, that's the sad part about it. I sat there and just kind of riff a little bit off the Green News report. I mean, and kind of double down on the whole Star Trek thing. But you would, I mean, there is an incredible illogic here that you would choose to run one of your most important environmental organizations with people who, with the same guy who 6 months ago was filing lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit, complaining that it's hurting jobs and driving up costs and these job killing regulations are just destroying the country. Oh, you're going to offer me a job in the EPA? Well, thank you very much.
No. You're getting it all wrong. They're being brought into the EPA to destroy the EPA so that the EPA can't do no more job killing.
Well, maybe so. But, I mean, holy snapping sandwiches. I mean, it's just the madness is just unfreaking believable. I mean, I watched a piece of a documentary on YouTube yesterday. I mean, they show pictures of square miles of ocean surface covered in plastic. They take and showed pictures of on the underwater where they're, you know, you're talking about 200 miles from shore, and they got a picture of tires 2,000 feet under the ocean surface laying on the ocean floor. Now, I mean, as a truck driver, I've blown tires far out of the way places, but damn if I can figure how a freaking tire gets all the way out into the middle of the Atlantic. That just
I have a possible answer.
Talk to me, brother.
Capitalism.
Waiting to be enlightened.
Capitalism.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Because
those
aren't scrap tires. Those aren't blown tires. Those are money making opportunities. There's money to be made in the hauling of them. There's money to be made in the burning or destruction or deconstruction of them, and every now and then one just falls over the side into the Atlantic Ocean. One of these days we'll actually fill in the Mariana Trench.
Yeah, the thing I was watching. I mean, they were talking about that between like Japan and the West Coast of the United States, if you follow the shipping routes with a metal detector, you can find thousands of containers that fell off of freighter ships, just scattered along the base of the ocean with all kinds of stuff on it that people made, and now insurance companies have to pay off.
And remember, there are garbage scows that still take garbage out to sea and just dump it in the ocean like it's a, you know, toilet.
Amazing. You know, it's like I'm like you in a way. I love science fiction and stuff like that, and I just get a kick out of it. I haven't seen it yet, but I get a kick out of things like Blade Runner and stuff where, you know, they talk about, oh, this dystopian futures, and I'm like, these guys are not talking about some unlikely thing. It's gonna happen. I mean, look at India right now. They have their air pollution is so bad that they've got, I don't know, what was it, Mumbai or whatever the hell the name of the place is, that it's like California, Los Angeles back in the like the mid early 80s and stuff, where it was just smog and smoke from, they say it's because there's illegal crop burning or something, but the places you can't, I looked, you hold your hand out, you won't be able to see your fingernails.
Yeah, so I saw a story about a place like that just in the last couple of days. Hey, I got to interrupt you for just a minute, John.
Please.
From a technical standpoint, you have a request in from Brother Deacon Asa. He said, there's almost zero ambient noise from John's rig. Can you please ask him what headset phone combination you use?
I'm using a NASTEC. It's about a $200 headset piece. It's that if I'd bother to actually program it, it's a voice command system. At a push the right button, I can tell it to dial up a web page, things like that.
NASTEC or NAVTEC?
NASTEC. It's I think it's NAXTECH. I think I got it. You know, Texas has got this weird thing going on where they're slowly working their way towards gambling, but some of the truck stops have like these like video games, which if you win, you'll get these credits that you can, but you can't get money for it, but you can spend the points in the store. And I won a couple of jackpots, and I mean, this is an expensive headset. It's like $200 for this thing. But
and what kind of phone?
My phone is just a regular Samsung S6 that Sprint's now bitching at me to want to change out because my contract's coming due. And they're like, "You're a really great customer. We want to give you some discounts to get a brand new phone."
Because we want to lock you into buying some crap for another 2 years. Yeehaw!
Yeah, well, see, I was holding off to the last minute because, oh, well, T-Mobile and Sprint are going to join together. Well, no, maybe they won't. Oh, yeah, they will. No, they won't. Yeah, because I was afraid to go, okay, I joined back up, and then you change everything because I'm one of those evil customers who I've been with them long enough that I'm grandfathered in on the unlimited data. And the last time my contract 2 years ago came up due, they were like, we'll give you unlimited data. Come on, you know, because up to that point, if I used a gigabyte a month, it was remarkable. You know, I would have had to been like using the map services or something. But I was like, okay, fine, unlimited data, give it. I've had it for a long time. So, okay, grandfather me in. And then I discovered Netflix. Boy, they were pissed. Because it went from like 1 gigabyte to I keep getting monthly reminders, you have exceeded you have used 17 gigabytes, we will start toning you down during congestion periods. Oh, you're at 23 gigabytes, well, we got to tone you down because of your... And then I keep sending a message back saying, what part of unlimited did you not understand? And I get calls back, Are you upset with our service? I'm like, yeah, you guys, you know, you said unlimited, then you come back and you try to weasel me, you little bastards. What's going on? So,
and I'm grandfathered in before the throttling. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And then, of course, now
and of course, the funniest part of all this is that if you go over and they try to peg you for extra money for, most of them have unlimited plans now, but they purchase that bandwidth at about 10 cents a gig, 10 to 20 cents a gig, I was told.
Oh yeah. It's freaking robbery. I did a, oh God, now this is a little bit dated here. So the numbers will probably not be absolutely correct, but, maybe 10, 12 years ago, I took a little bit of time off the road and did some consulting work, kind of rehashing my old lifestyle, and found out that, you know, and again, this is some time ago, so it's, you know, the information is a bit dated, but I found out that a typical cell phone, like this Samsung I got here, I'll just use it kind of as a face example. You know, they say on paper this thing, when I got it, was worth about like $600. And of course, nowadays, they can't do like they did before, where they just give you the phone, or it only costs a couple $100. Now you're leasing the phone, and if you want to buy it, then at the end of your term, you can pay whatever's left on the lease and you buy the phone, but they won't sell it to you outright unless you pay this astronomical amount of money. So that's another reason why I'm holding off to the last minute to decide whether I'm going to renew with these guys or not. I want to see what kind of deals they toss us per phone.
Well, look, they all suck, okay?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I hate to be a little ray of sunshine, but I have yet to find a cell phone carrier that doesn't suck. And please don't send me emails about Credo, because I can't get Credo here.
I tried to get Credo, and for this big lefty organization, you know, we're such lefties, we support the poor and the working class and blah blah blah. Only if you have good credit. They will not sell me a phone. They will not even allow me to, quote unquote, join their service because my credit doesn't match their requirements. So it's like, huh.
Well, I never delved that far into the process simply because they're no good here.
Yeah, well, they trust me. The fact that I talked to them like 3 years ago for 5 minutes to do the little credit check thing and see about getting a phone, I thought it was ridiculous. I mean, I got online, and then the guy called me up on the phone, and we chit-chatted, and he did this computer thingy, and, well, I'm sorry, but, you know, your credit's not very good. And I'm like, well, frankly, I don't have credit because I have never borrowed any money for any reason, which is the weirdest thing. I've always been mystified. You have bad credit if you've never borrowed any money. And I'm like, that's kind of weird, but that's the way they think. And I'm like, and this, like I said, 2 years ago. So the phone wasn't even that
expensive. Right, and this is a standard that was created by the same people who let a few umpty bajillion people's data get hacked.
Oh, yeah, it's just fantastic.
Yep. Equifax, right.
Let me put you on half set for a second. Sorry about that. Got a bit of a flu, so I'm
And you're driving? Beautiful. That's got to be fun.
Oh yeah, I'm just doing my do. Get down here and I'm driving by people, you know, doing their makeup, and I got saw one girl doing her toenails. It's great. I love
the girl. Wait a minute. Are you so? You're in Southern California. Are you on the 405 or the 612 or the 9 7/8 or? Keep an eye out for Tracy, the lady cab driver out there. I mean, there's only the two of you on the. I mean, there's not that many people in Southern California.
No, I'm just getting ready to jump on the 15 here in a few minutes, I believe. And it's like, eesh. And it's just silly. I mean, this is just, you know, these guys are crazy out here. And, you know, I mean, I used to be a cab driver back long ago, and I appreciate Tracy, what she does, but it's like, holy sandboxes. I wouldn't cab drive down here for anything because they're just nuts. And, I mean, I still get a kick out of it. Back when I was cab driving, I cab drive down in, and I think one of your people down there is in Florida. He could probably tell you about it, but about 20 years ago, I was a cab driver down in the Cocoa Beach area, Cocoa, Melbourne, all that. And I got such a kick out of it because, you know, I had just gotten out of being what they call a body mover, that job. I got tired of doing it, so I was taking a break before I decided to do something else. And I got drive cab. Sure, I drove cab before, many different parts of the country. So I'm driving a cab at this particular time frame. It's like I look at my trip sheet, and I have 12 trips that night, and 10 of them are various people going to the same meth house in Cocoa Beach. And they're paying me in quarters and handfuls of wrinkly dollars and having me, you know, wait for 5 minutes and I'll come back and take me back home, round trip, yay. And then I, you know, eventually, you know, I'm like, the cops are looking at us, and I say something to the owner of the company, and I'm like, you know, is it really a good idea for us to be, you know, making all these drug runs and stuff? Because that's basically what we were doing. And he got mad, and that's when I found out he was an old hippie, and, you know, he thought that I was being disparaging of the drug culture, and, you know, I don't think you should work here anymore because, you know, these people are just trying to enjoy their lives. And I'm like, oh, really? Uh-huh. I don't want to go to jail because sooner or later, you know, some cop's going to get cranky about it, But it's like, ugh, gosh, you people are crazy. Cab driving is wacky. But part of what drove me to call was small warning. Now, I don't know the entire details because my bank has not gotten back to me yet. But my bank card was hacked a couple days ago. And
oh, that sucks.
Oh, yeah. It is. I sit there, and my company had sent me, you know, my paycheck, stuff like that. So I go to go buy something, and, oh, you don't have any money in your account. What? So I get on the, I go check the ATM. There's like $3 in your account. What the hell? So I called the bank, and then we turn around and find out, oh, hell. Now, I pass by Philadelphia like once in a long, long while, and it's been about 2 years since I've been by Philadelphia. But somebody in a 7-Eleven in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, had taken out $140 out of an ATM, which means not only did they have my bank card, but somehow they got their hands on my ATM PIN number. And the bank is going through that right now, and they're looking at what's going on. And I was told, and like I said, I'll go get with you in more details, but they suspect it's got something to do with possibly one of the PayPal purchases that I did. And so I'm waiting to see what comes back with that. But it was fun.
It's been my experience that a lot of people get, and I've been one of those people, get nicked using the little card receptacles at gas pumps.
Yeah,
I filled up at a Shell station in Manassas years ago, and got up the next morning and found out somebody had spent $100 in Verdun, France.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, when the bank and I got on the bank's butt. I mean, they know, or in fact, a transportation, banking system. So they deal with a lot of truckers. So they know I'm all over the place. But I said, did it ever occur to you that I had bought something the day before at the time I was in Indiana. And I'm going in far off Indiana at like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I said, and yet 5 hours later, I'm buying something in Pennsylvania. Did you think I was on an aircraft or something? They're like, oh, well, I'm sorry about that, Mr. Harrell. We're just struggling to try to keep, because these people are getting more and more sophisticated. And I'm like, well, fine. Start selling me Bitcoin then, damn it. She laughed.
Yeah, you don't want Bitcoin.
Well, that's just it. Bitcoin came out back in the mid to late 2000s. And I had, back then I had a couple of dollars to spend. And at the time when Bitcoin was first being issued, I bought 75 Bitcoins and I paid $1.36 a piece for them. And then eventually end up losing the hard drive that we're sitting on. And I just had a funny, for fun, I sat back about a week ago and I said, wow, Bitcoin's up to $6,000. Let me just, holy shit. I'm like, damn, that's $190,000 I could have had. I was like, damn, that sucks. But I was like, yeah, it's just nuts. But anywho, I thought I'd call and say hey. And I'm pretty sure somebody else is probably on the line.
Well, in point of fact, if I see a contribution come through from you for $200,000, I'm not
taking it anyway.
No, well, I won't go out. I won't go out and price the blue Buicks.
No, you can go ahead and take it because hey, that's what the bank did. I mean, they say, well, they're being very slow at returning my money, saying we have to check the veracity of the report, and we have to make sure that I'm like, I'm on the phone with you right now in Georgia. This happened last night. Come on, guys, give me a break. Well, we have procedures to go through, and I'm like, you bureaucratic bastards. I want to call you dirty names for at least a week. So.
Exactly.
Anywho.
But the person you're talking to has no authority, no power, and that's the way the MBAs from Harvard tell them to structure their corporate operations.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. I mean, this is a quote-unquote, it's a quote-unquote Utah-based company, because that's where the company originated from, and yet the phone person, whose name was a beautiful, after I twisted her arm, because she originally told herself to be Kelly, but I said, there's no way in hell an Irish person's ever been in your bloodline for a long time, just by your accent, and she laughed. And I finally got her to admit what her real name was, and it was, you know, 17 digits long, and it was a very beautiful name, don't get me wrong. I mean, it's a charming lady, by and large, but, you know, that whole, you know, being based in Mumbai, hey.
Yeah, I always like to ask who won the 1975 World Series.
Hell, I don't even know that. I'd lose. Who did?
You kidding? That was probably the greatest World Series of the 1970s.
Yeah, but I was on drugs at the time. Sorry.
Oh, well, happens. Yeah, that was the Reds over the Red Sox.
Well, there was a red there somewhere, so go figure.
Yeah, that was the Reds over the Red Sox.
Yeah, I sit there. You know, they're sitting there. We got the big ass. I got into a big ass argument this morning with a guy at a truck stop about, because I got my news feed and everything set up, and like every third news feed now is all these automated trucks are coming online, and these companies are spending all this money to develop, you know, robotic trucks and automated vehicles, and they're test firing them in different parts of the country. And I'm like, you know, these capitalist sons of bitches, I mean, they sit there and they complain that they're not making enough profits and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you tell the most obvious thing, who's going to buy your crap when nobody has a freaking job? And they look at you like, oh, I'm just looking for my bonus check next month.
I got a job.
Okay.
I got a job.
Yeah. Yeah, you got a job, MBA bastard.
Igumfu, I got mine, F.U.
That's it. And that's the way it is. So, anywho, catch you later, dude, specimen.
All right. Big kudos coming to you on the from a couple of different people on the quality of your audio. So,
yeah. Hey, you spend the money, you get the quality.
Yeah, that was the other comment I got from Les, who said, I was listening intently to find out what headset John had, considering my headset's issues on Friday on the front porch, but $200, I guess I'll just stay on mute.
Yeah, hang on just a second. I'm going to pull it off my head so I can look at the name and make sure I got it right.
Okay.
Hang on a half second. Okay, I was actually incorrect there. It may be a division of it, but it's called a Blue Parrot.
Oh, I've heard the Blue Parrot. No, Blue Parrot does some good stuff, and they've made some really, really kick-ass headphones. So, not surprised.
Yeah. It's I thought it was a NASDAQ, because that seems to be the big technology that's popping up in the truck stops with the TVs and stuff. So that's what I had in my mind, because I bought a TV about a month ago from truck stop, and for some reason that was what was in my head. But no, it's a Blue Parrot, and you get one of the upper tier ones. Some of the lower tier ones aren't that good, but the upper tier ones do pretty well. And
you can't have had it long, because I can remember hearing the ambient background roar in previous calls.
Yeah, I've had it about a month.
I don't think I've heard from you in that period of time.
And some of the, like I said, I've been occasionally, I'll try new ones out, and this one seems to be the best working. And, cause it's like, you know, that's the thing I hate about some of these companies. They'll tell you, oh, we're the best thing since sliced bread, and we got high reviews and blah, blah, blah. And you buy the thing and it turns out to be crap. And I'm like, you know, come on, people, tell the truth. That's, I mean, you're asking for my money, tell me the truth. But truth does not seem to function with these bastards. You know, it's like...
Well, in the case of Blue Parrot, I mean, I've read a lot of reviews on their headphones. And they are, you're right in that regard, they are extremely pricey.
Oh, yeah. This one, like I said, I probably would not have bought it had I just paid pure cash for it. Because, again, it is... You know, it's a good chunk of money, but, you know, like I said, I've lucked out and won some credits at a truck stop, so I had to spend it on something, so I bought this thing. And
yeah, that's another thing I'd never heard of, and so I've learned something this evening. You can You can gamble for truck stop credits.
Well, it's kind of a stepping stone because, like Illinois right now has recently become a state where they've got the video poker games and all that crap. I mean, it's becoming, and I'm probably gonna have to start looking at myself very carefully about this because it used to be, since I technically live around Vegas and stuff, you know, when I go home, I can gamble. And then when I leave, I can travel the country for a long time. I can travel the country, not gamble, and what have you. But here lately, it's like every state. Illinois has got it now where, it, you know, every little truck stop's got a little gaming room in it, and they actually pay cash, but the games are so tight, they cheat so bad. But it's like, you know, Louisiana.
You're kind of out of my league on that right now, but I will take your word for it. I mean, I've never known a gambling game where the odds were not stacked in favor of the house, even if the house is a truck stop and busted knuckle.
Well, I mean, I don't, you know, it's reasonable to. Here's the thing, and I was off over the weekend, over this weekend because of a late load that couldn't get delivered, so I had to sit on it, and I was in Vegas and at home, so I went to I lucked out, and there was a small little thing going. This reason why I'm saying I need to assess my gambling thing, because I went to a little conference that was discussing, and this is an odd place to do it because it was in the mecca of gambling, but it has to do, like, you know, you probably remember my conversations about MMT and all that stuff about modern monetary theory and everything,
right?
And that was the main thrust of it, but part of the conversation kind of drifted off. One of the seminars was about casino gambling, and they brought up something that in hindsight is obvious, but you don't think about it. At least I never thought about it in the front end. Is a casino's sole purpose is to extract a whole lot of money from a whole lot of people and then give the bulk of it to one person or a small number of people and keep a percentage for itself.
Yeah, it's a monetary transfer operation.
Yeah, it's a wealth transfer, basically. And that's why I'm saying to myself, maybe I'm thinking maybe stop.
You know, well, I can understand that. Of course,
even if you win,
you know,
you'll lose.
I've described the lottery on any number of occasions as a voluntary tax on the unreasonably optimistic.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, I sat there. Virginia did this crap Virginia was one of the first states that actually went into the lottery business. And I still remember this day, the argument they had. We're going to take this money. We're going to put it in schools. We're going to make some, we're going to give the children a top of flight, number one education. And they sold this crap. So people, you live right next to Virginia. You know how conservative a lot of that part of that state is. And they were like, and they went for it because they said, oh, education, yay. And what are the sons of bitches? Yeah, the money went to education, but the money that was originally in the education, they then scraped off and spent on something else.
Exactly.
So the education didn't
actually
get any more.
And it's the same thing everywhere. Sure. It was the same pitch that was made in West Virginia. Oh, look, we're going to dedicate our lottery proceeds to the little children's education and old folks and tourism and our veterans, and then promptly assumed that they had no further responsibility to any of those line items in the regular, actual, real, no kidding, honest to God budgetary process.
Yeah, it just chaps my ass because it's like, you know, it's thievery to a large extent because, and like I said, I'm doing this assessment. I'm saying, you know, I watched these. You know, this last time I went, I actually sat and I actually played less and actually stopped to look at the people that were playing. And it was like, you know, these people are just sitting there. There's, you know, a lot of casinos still have cigarette smoking, which is like I'm sitting there hacking and coughing and watching people. And, you know, they're sitting there, and I'm like, all these old people. And I'm like, what is it? You go, you work your life, you retire, and then what do? You come to the casino and blow your money in the casino. It's like, geez.
Well, we've even got billboards around West Virginia that show an old lady sitting in front of a machine and the legend on the words on the billboard say, "Hooked up to a machine is no way to spend your life."
Yeah.
But again, that's that inherent contradiction in so many facets of state government. It's like cigarettes. If every cigarette smoker in West Virginia stops smoking, the budget will crash.
Exactly.
If everybody who drinks in West Virginia stops drinking, the budget will crash. You know, yeah. I have yet to see a tax on Bibles,
or
we got rid of our food tax. At least everybody had to eat food. It was regressive in nature because it did not require nearly as much of a percentage of a wealthy person's available spending money to eat as it did for a poor person or, you know, a person of modest means, but at least everybody was in the game.
Yeah.
But when it's the so-called sin taxes, your lottery, and here in West Virginia, we refer to gambling casinos as video lottery.
Right.
That was the fig leaf they hid behind.
Yeah. Mainly.
But whether it's lottery or a tax on booze or a tax on cigarettes, what you're doing is you're taxing people that the culture feels are...
They're not good people.
Are sufficiently ungood to be able to hit.
Yeah.
A pack of name brand cigarettes here is up around up north of $6 a pack now.
Oh yeah, it's fantastic. You know, it's like, you know, it's, you know, you're not the drug dealer, but you're the guy who picks up the vigorous. You know, picks up the vig for the freaking, you know, selling the drugs on the street corner. You know, at least the marijuana dispensaries and stuff like that are at least honest about, you know, once they legalize that, it's doing the same thing. But at least,
well,
they're being
in that case, you're going down a different path, and I can spend the night on that because,
oh yeah,
there's a real, I mean, in a place like West Virginia, there's a real economic benefit to be had. Because nobody has gone straight up Colorado style legal in the mid-Atlantic or God knows the deep South, and the first state that does that is going to experience an economic benefit that can scarcely be measured.
Oh yeah, I mean it's ridiculous. I mean, one of the big arguments that's going through the feeds and the groups that I'm connected to on the internet and stuff is that there's this pretty hefty push. There's a big discussion about the suppression of freedom of speech, which has been a big thing for the last couple of days, because you've got like the NSA and stuff like that, the NSA spying and what have you. But the big push is, and again, a lot of this is coming out of, like, because I watch a lot of YouTube and what have you, and you got, I mean, these. The big corporates like Google and YouTube, and which is part of Google and all that stuff, but these guys are not even being subtle about it anymore. It used to be that they would be a little more subtle and, you know, a little bit more, you know, kind of soft-handed with it, but they're getting so now. I mean, I'm actually watching in live time where, you know, channels that are talking about various social or political issues are being demonetized because, well, the advertisers don't like what's being said. They're not advertiser friendly. And I mean, it used to be that, you know, granted, we all kind of accepted the fact. I mean, take RT. I'm not saying they're a fantastic organization or anything like that, but RT, which is like Russia Today, I have found that as long as you recognize, yes, they are sponsored by, you know, they are sponsored by the Russian government, and you recognize that, and then you look and then you actually go and watch the shows, you get a hell of a lot more balance and a lot more information out of them than you get out of anything out of CNN or anything like that. And yet was it today or yesterday? The RT was forced to have to make themselves to quote unquote declare themselves a registered foreign agent. And one of the guys that I watch, that I occasionally watch, he's a right winger and a half. He's kind of a quasi libertarian right winger. But he got on there and he explained something which I found very unusual. Now, take what he says with a grain of salt, but I have heard this from other sources as well, is that the RT network, for instance, does something that this guy, he interviews on multiple platforms. He goes to CNN, he does interviews there, he does MSNBC, all that stuff. And he says the RT network did one thing for when B was asked to come onto their shows. They did something that he said, flat out, just stunning. They did not hand him a list of questions and say, this is what we're asking you. They asked him, what questions do you want us to ask you so that we can tell your story? And he said, that just blew his mind.
That's always been my experience. My experience with All In with Chris Hayes. I've never been asked to say anything in particular. I've never been handed an agenda. It's been an even-handed back and forth, and the question has been asked. You know, what do you think is the salient and important takeaway in this?
Yeah. So my opinion got asked, and I put in response on one of my Facebook questions. They asked me. I said, I'll tell you flat out. You know. And like I said, I'm not a super fan of any of this stuff, but since media by definition, especially in the United States, money is going to be an issue regardless of what you do. Money's got to come from somewhere. You have to do your fundraising, stuff like that. I mean, you know, unfortunately, we don't live in a world where modern monetary theory and monetary economics can be functional. But you sit there and say, okay, if you know where the money's coming from, you know where their bias is, and you can filter that. But if you got a place like CNN and all this stuff, they're getting sources from all different directions, and you have no idea who's influencing what. You know, to me, that makes a lot of difference. And you sit there, and it's like Facebook, and like it's like say YouTube is going through is an almost open warfare right now because channels are literally being taken offline because they're not advertiser friendly. And I'm like, okay, yeah, these guys are a business, but they have become a platform for free speech. And if the damn churches can stand there and have a damn near blank check to say whatever they want, and now I understand that one of these damn congressmen or something wants to push a bill through to weaken even the limitations that churches have against political speech, and yet private platforms are now allowed to say, well, you know, this particular conversation is not advertiser friendly, therefore, you know, welcome to the corporate states of America.
Well, and it's not just YouTube. I mean, I've noticed two of the websites that I read quite frequently, thinkprogress.org and alternet.org, have been more or less blacklisted by Google, by their search engines, as containing dangerous political content or some such.
Oh yeah, I mean, like I said, these guys they're disgusting.
And people like Joe Rahm over at Think Progress do magnificent jobs reporting on things like climate change.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you have here is a sort of a replication of what happened with the... You remember the Sandra Fluck controversy?
Oh, the raging horror, you know? Yeah, okay.
When the oxymoron spent days upon days upon days calling her a slut. My friend, she's a slut, and she wants her... She wants you, you good God-fearing, upstanding Christian conservatives to pay for her slut medicine, my friends. And of course, there was a natural outcry against that, and Limbaugh lost a lot of listeners, but corporate America thought that the only way that would be fair for them to pull advertising from somebody like Limbaugh is if they pulled advertising from people who were doing progressive talk as well, even though they weren't calling anyone a slut.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of missing the big picture in all of that. Namely, that it was the calling somebody a slut that was a problem, not the fact that they were progressive or conservative.
Well, but the thing about it was, and this is my opinion on the subject, it wasn't even the fact he called her a slut. It's the fact that is that in my eyes, and that's to me one of the biggest problems about media in this country is that they want controversy, but they want controversy on their terms. They want CNN to come out here and bring a right winger and a left winger, get him into a room, let him punch a few times, and then sit back and say we're fair and balanced, to only borrow from Fox News. I mean,
right, and generally in a circumstance where there are three to five right wingers per one lonely liberal progressive person. Yes.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, he sits there, and it's like they're not trying to tell you facts or give you, you know, sit there and explain what's going on, you know, quote unquote, Edward Murrow style or anything like that. They are solely out for freaking ratings. It's like the whole move towards reality TV. It's cheap. It's freaking
easy.
Well,
it's like when poor old Alan Combs, bless his heart, he's no longer with us, would sit there night after night and be the punching bag for Sean Hannity.
Yeah. I mean, I sat there, for instance, and watched an article popped across today about Netflix. Now, I read the entire article, and I still don't understand it. Netflix is releasing and canceling multiple shows that are well-liked, have high viewership, but the reason why, and I'm still trying, give me a week, I might be able to figure it out, but they his quote, and this is quote, they had too many hits. And I'm going, I thought the whole idea was to have hits of people, but it turns out, if I understand the whole damn story correctly, is they got so many hits, they have no room to pull shows off to bring in the new goobly-gobbly, whatever it is they're trying to do. And it's like, I just don't understand it. You know, you know, the people running media systems these days are, maybe I'm just, you know, slap a sticker on my butt that says Tyrannosaurus Rex, I'm a dinosaur, but I don't understand. I thought the whole idea was to entertain, inform the people. But, you know, I learned this in school. The whole purpose of most media is to deliver viewership to the advertisers, but these guys have gotten to the point now where it's not even subtle anymore. If you don't have that critical demographic of was it 18 to 35 or something like that, then shows like Lawnmire, canceled. Well, we're not getting the key demographic. We're not getting the young people with the horny whatevers that have disposable money to buy because they don't have kids yet. Crap like that. And then you got the news organizations. I mean, you probably noticed that ever since Hannity went to 9 p.m., there's been nothing but a solid crowing about, oh, yeah, Rachel Maddow is not as good anymore because she's getting beat by Hannity. And yet, if you listen to what Hannity's talking about, he has spent the last month being a sock puppet for Trump.
Month?
You know,
month?
You,
month?
I'm being generous. Can I be generous?
Well, absolutely, but you said you had to go a little bit ago, and I kept you on far too long. But
we will
talk again, John. You take care.
Blessings upon you and all that good stuff. Thanks
all right,
a lot.
Thanks. Bye now. And we will take a quick break and be back. Possibly more of your calls. Who knows? This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Always live your life, never thinking of the future.
And let's see, 13 minutes past the hour. Sorry for the precipitous nature of that break, but I saw a call coming in, and I felt like I'd probably better take it since Agnes isn't here. It's not a it was not a thing, but it had to be addressed and had to be. Everything's cool, no worries. Anyway, 13 minutes after the hour, if you want to get involved in the program, you know how, 304-574-8178, or from anywhere else on the planet, Bob Kincaid Horn via Skype. Thanks to Sparky for providing some background information on today's shooting in Northern California. Authorities have yet to confirm the shooter's identity, but local residents say they were told the shooter was Kevin Jansen Neal, aged 43, of Rancho Tehama. He was among the five killed. And the article goes on from the Red Bluff Daily News. The article goes on to state that the sheriff's office is familiar with Neal. According to an article in the Red Bluff Daily News in February, Neal was arrested in the 6900 block of Bobcat Lane in Rancho Tehama. He was booked into Tehama County Jail on charges of assault with a deadly weapon, not firearms or force, great bodily injury likely, battery on a person. Let's keep this going. Battery on a person, crime against an elder or dependent adult, discharge of a firearm with gross negligence and false imprisonment with violence. Bail was $160,000. So then the question becomes, what in the hell was he doing with a gun? Well, I'll tell you what he was doing with a gun. The National Rifle Association wanted to make sure that he had access to guns, because I'm sure he was only defending freedom in that previous incident. Brian Flint, age 27, said his truck was stolen from his residence while he was not home and used in the shooting. He told the Daily News his roommate was among those killed. The suspect had fired shots late at night and in the early morning on several occasions over the last month. But, you know, I mean, people just do that. People that have guns sometimes feel like they need to go out and express their freedom in the middle of the night, so they go off and squeeze a few rounds because freedom, because that's what our Second Amendment is for. And we have to be sympathetic and sweet and kind and loving and accepting of this madness. Yeah, Barkway, that's the school shooting today. Five dead, four of them kids, or four individuals, and the shooter makes five. Jesus. Well, I won't even say thoughts and prayers because, yeah. All right, let's keep it going. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
This is your mentat, Marcy.
Hey, Marcy. How are you? I was guessing that might be you.
Well, I have a few minutes here, and I wanted to ring in a little bit. First thing I want to talk about is, and I have to jump right into this because I keep seeing all of these articles and news stories, and I came in right at the point in time that you were talking about, that I don't even know what his name is, that was having a problem with Jazz Jennings.
Oh, so, that'd be your Derek Dillard.
Yeah, whatever. I can't keep all of them keep track of them all, and I just saw a little thing on here that the Reverend Dr. Graham is going after the Church of England because they have, God forbid, suggested that their schools would not expect the simplistic of, you know, boys always play with fire engines and girls always play with knitting needles and crap like that. Church of England is actually, you know, trying to say, hey, you know, kids may play around with this. They may explore But explore is evidently a really bad word. As you know, I'm trans.
Yes.
And I don't talk about this a whole lot outside of real tight family and people that are part of a particular community of mine. I'm a Christian, okay?
In a way, if you'll forgive me saying so, Marcy, I think you had a harder time saying that than saying you're trans.
There are times I have to say, I don't recognize any of the churches or denominations that you talk about, in particular on prayer meeting. I was born and raised Presbyterian and still belong to a Presbyterian church, the one that I joined 4,000 years ago on my dinosaur. And I have it's very odd, okay? I'm in a suburb of Detroit. Now, Detroit's known as a really, you know, it's old Union and stuff like that. But for that aspect, it is not a progressive, liberal thinking sort of place by and large. And this particular suburb is really not progressive thinking. But I've found a little corner of progressivism here, and I'm well accepted. Now, I suspect that part of that is because that for 40 years I was hiding in plain sight. Just trying to cope with my own brain and whatnot. But that's part of my story. I'm a Christian. And, yeah, I had to think about this for a little bit. But as I've gone back and done research and found that, okay, in Leviticus, the aspect that talks about what everyone says talks about homosexuality is actually closer to pedophilia. And when it's not the words of Yeshua, it's the words of Saul, okay, that talk about it in Romans.
Exactly. Yeshua was absolutely silent on the issue. The closest he ever got to saying anything about sexuality was talking about men who, for reasons that were generally religious and cultural, would have themselves emasculated.
Right. And he talked a whole lot more about the concept of divorce and how that would happen to be evil. But as I've looked at this, and occasionally I find myself climbing into the comment section, and yeah, I have to wash with bleach after I get done.
Yeah, that's always a dicey proposition.
But I really make an effort to not go for ad hominem attacks. I took a logic class. I know they're wrong, so I don't do them. I try to just go back and tell people, look, this is the truth, okay? I am female. I don't have the right parts yet, okay? One day, hopefully, maybe yes. But that doesn't matter. The fact is that people...
There's
so many words and so little time.
Well, you've got at least 38 minutes, so don't put yourself under any pressure, Marcy.
Oh, thank you, dear. It's just gender is in the head, and I know why people are so fixated on saying gender now, because we, in the 70s, you know, when we had to take the Iowa tests, you had to take the Iowa tests, didn't you? Those little Scantron things that you had to fill in with the number 2 pencil.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Someone always had a number 3 and was making holes in the whatever. So back then, you had to fill in your name, and you had to fill in your full proper name. So if your name was Patricia, you had to put in Patricia and not Pat, or Patrick and not Pat, because they needed to know, you know, what the full name was. And you had to fill in the little thing there that said sex. And a bunch of parents, or I don't know who all, someone got so wound up that we had to start changing that so that it could be called gender.
And I suspect, especially where little, say, middle school prepubescents were concerned, they probably had a hand in that because I recall at one time on one of those scrawling the words, not yet.
Yes, please.
Yeah, right. Hoping. Yeah. You don't open doors like that for little half-grown pubescent maniacs.
Right after high school biology class. Not a good idea.
No. No, you just, so, I mean, that's, I mean, there's, I mean, there's food they didn't serve in the cafeteria more than once because they realized what could be done with it, you know.
Yeah. Well, you and I lived in the same place and at the same time. So it just, it's so frustrating to me when people try to pull out the religion thing because, like I say, I don't know what goes on after death. And there's a part of me that goes, that takes a look at it from the thought experiment process of, if you take away human beings right now, in 10 million years, another sentient race will be on this planet. Could be your 6-foot cockroaches.
Yes.
Could be the rabbits. Let's go with the rabbits. I like them better. And the rabbits develop.
I've got a lot invested in the cockroaches, Marcy.
Well, I know that, but I'm just not a big fan of bugs. I like soft, furry things. My brain went into the gutter there.
Did you notice how I just left that alone?
Yes, thank you. It's still, okay, we're still technically in family hours, so yeah, I'll try to be nice. Let's see. So if the rabbits are able to come up with, ooh, I've got a little urchin that's, I'm at my office, and an urchin is visiting. Alrighty. If the rabbits come up with exactly the same types of stories that talk about the Great Flood, because they will have figured out, talk about all the different, Matthew 25:35, which happens to be my favorite verse, for even as you have done it unto the least of these. If they come up with that, okay, then probably God is real. Is it likely that they'll come up with it? No.
Does it hurt to
believe? And in my case, it doesn't.
Right. Let me jump in here for just a minute because I think
because I feel like I'm just spitting out words.
No, you're not. You're not. You're not. My beef with Christianity and the Abrahamic religions in general is born of study. Where Christianity in particular is concerned, my beef is institutional. And it begins with Saul Paul. And it goes through the Council of Nicaea and into the rise of the Ecclesia. Because, you know, organizations evolve. Religions evolve. They start as
right.
They start as personal personal cults, then they become shamanistic cults, and eventually you wind up with an ecclesiastical cult, which is any major fully formed religion, whether it be Southern Baptists or the Roman Catholic Church. In fact, you could even argue that Islam is slightly less, or maybe considerably less, ecclesiastical, because there is no, you know, Pope of Islam. And there's no, well, but anyway, I'm getting off track. As far as the core seeds of Christianity are concerned, the bit about, you know, born of a virgin and God's his daddy and rose on the third day, those are all things, Marcy, that you either believe or you do not believe, because they are not subject to scientific proof.
Correct.
You cannot subject the virgin birth. Now, I think there's a, we were talking about Saul Paul for a second there. Saul's letters are older than the Gospels. We don't suspect that. We absolutely know it.
Yeah, unless there was a time travel somewhere in there.
And as a consequence, you would think something as important as a virgin birth would make it into the very first writings about Yeshua. But it didn't. Paul either hadn't heard of it, or it hadn't been concocted yet.
Or he didn't believe.
Or he didn't. Well, it's obvious if you read Paul, the only thing that matters to him is what happens on the cross. That's everything. And you can kind of take the teachings and chuck them out the window for all Paul is concerned, because Paul will happily tell you what his rules are. And the vast majority of the rules that, and this is where my beef comes in, the vast majority of the rules upon which both Protestant and Orthodox and Catholic Christianity operate are rules that come from Paul and not Jesus. Jesus is used as a justification. Paul is the damn rule book.
And I agree with you, especially on all of that, because, and I guess maybe it's a matter of definitional things, and I have always had sort of a philosophical bent. And it's a combination of philosophy and logic, which I know are related. But when I take a look, one of the ways I hid in plain sight was, hidden in plain sight was essentially trying to make myself conform to a lot of male role model types of things. I was in the scouting program. I'm an Eagle Scout. And when the boys in Irving, Texas, we actually do a letter out to them, they're going to have to deal with me because I'm not taking my name off the plaque. Okay? That was me. That was old me. I joined a young men's organization after scouting. It was called DeMolay, fashioned after
me too.
I thought you might have been. I've been going to send you a note to ask you, somewhere in your family history or you yourself, you've been involved in the Masonic fraternity or DeMolay. Because so was I, as far as the Masonic fraternity. And if you take a look at the philosophy, at those things that are written down as we view the world through this light, they make sense, okay? They are help each other. They are, it's the golden rule, which does not have to come from the Bible. It comes from any number of places in philosophical thought. And I guess maybe the way I look at things, I'm a philosophical Christian. I look at, I understand that according to Protestantism, as long as I have been saved, I'm good. But I can't operate that way because I go along with your phrase, faith without works is dead.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you look at the life of Yeshua, there's no hiding from the fact that he says some really bizarre, if those are his words, he says some really bizarre, weird shit along the way.
Yeah.
I mean, a man would not be allowed to talk to his mama the way Jesus talked to his mama in my community. He'd get backhanded. Don't talk to mama like that. I mean, if I had ever called my mother woman, that would have been the last word that came out of my mouth. But
who'd have hit you first, your mom or your dad?
I wouldn't have known. Except it might have hurt more coming from mom. No, mother would not have hit me. Mother would have simply looked at me. At which point I would have turned around and looked at, please kick the shit out of me. I can't take the look anymore. Blind me. You know, whatever. But everything he talks about is stuff about making life here not so shitty, and make no mistake, the life they led was shitty. It was a shitty place, a shitty time, surrounded by shitty people. Okay, I mean, I don't. I'm prone to, because of my love for history and archaeology and anthropology, I can romanticize almost any time period in history. But once I'm over it, and I look back at it, no, fuck no, I would not live in that era.
No. Oh, I'm enjoying here and now too much.
I have too much available
to me.
Yes, absolutely. And Agnes and I were talking about this the other day, Morrissey. And it may come out entirely wrong, but most people don't realize that the poorest of the poor in our country, boy, am I going to get email for this, the poorest of the poor in our country have more advantages than probably 99% of the kings and queens and princes and princesses and earls and dukes and the jack of spades that have ever existed on this planet.
Quite right, down to the modern age.
Now you can contrast that with what we know about hunter gatherers, that they had more leisure time. But everybody lives in their own time, and everybody, you know, I'm pretty happy now. I'm sure glad I wasn't alive 100 years ago. And there's always somebody, and it's always some old fuck in the back of the cave who's going, well, by God, I can remember back when there were fucking mastodons, and we weren't out here eating fucking squirrel. You know what I mean? But
squirrel's tasty.
Oh, squirrel gravy. Don't get me started.
Squirrel's very tasty.
Yeah, we'll be doing hillbilly food porn in no time flat. But I understand what you're getting at, and if you treat, you know, it's possible to take Jesus' life and treat it in an existential fashion as a model for getting through the day, and I got no problem with that. That's what makes so many Unitarians such nice people. Because they'll take a little Jesus here, and they'll take a pinch of Buddhism and a soupçon of Hindu, and some indigenous animism, and you know they're Unitarians, so it's a unity. It's all part of one thing.
I have a friend that's UU, and she is just she talks about some of the stuff that they do as a congregation, and it's like. Wow, if I actually didn't have a supportive group here, I would be up there in a quarter of a second.
Yeah, my nearest UU is, you know, 50 miles away, and they're lovely people, but I'm not getting up at 6 o'clock on a Sunday morning to go hang out with them. Would I go hang out with them at 6 o'clock on a Saturday night? Yes.
I'm going to say for you, especially not with the fact that you got to deal with some of those roads and some of the trucks.
That's down the mountain to Charleston. That ain't going to happen. By the way, Clarity, who also is trans, has been sharing some ideas based on what you've been saying, Marcy. She says, I still hold doors instead of waiting for the other to hold for me. And guys are sometimes not sure how to be with me.
I get that a lot, too.
And then from the religious aspect, Clarity observes grace is not enough. And it's because at that point in time, if you're depending, if grace is all there is, then you're living by magic thinking.
And that's why I brought up the fact, okay, there's the joke, at least in our congregation, okay, Presbyterians, we're God's chosen frozen.
I thought that was Episcopalians.
Oh, no, no, no. We're chosen because it's already written down as to whether or not we're going there or not. And, you know, most of the time, Presbyterianism operates under the, you know, we four and no more, because I know that these other people. Until you come across that one that's got a weird idea, and that's we three and not thee.
Yeah, close. But even Presbyterianism has been infected with the fundamentalist.
Oh, absolutely! That's why I say I take a look. I hear snippets from some preachers, and my ire is just over boiling with, you know, with this from the Reverend Dr. Graham and the crap that's down in Alabama. And which, as an interesting side note, I saw a quick note today that suggested, I don't know if you had gotten to this, but evidently Kayla Moore.
That would be Mrs. Yes.
That would be Mrs. Judge. Evidently, that letter that was signed by the 50-plus pastors was edited most recently to make it look as though they still support him.
Right, because that was actually a letter that was promulgated prior to the runoff with Big Luther.
Prior to the primary. And at least one, in the article I read, at least one fellow, Endicott, I think was the name, said that he would prefer that his name no longer be associated with that letter.
As did the African American woman.
So I'm hopeful. And by the way, okay, I've managed to get my heart rate down and calm my thoughts a little bit here. And so I'm going to do a little mentat work here for you. I think I've described to you how I called Trump, unfortunately, 7 months before the fact.
Yes.
I called him as the,
yes.
And my kids could confirm this. I called him as the Republican nominee. I called Hillary, even when it looked like Bernie had a steamroller, except it really wasn't, it was a Tonka truck. And I said, okay, and here's how it's going to come down. And people have been saying, well, okay, according to that, aren't you worried? And I kept saying, no, I'm not, because he can't govern. And he's proven that. The fact, when was the last time we had a president that had, what is it now, two cabinet secretaries out inside of a year and a couple more that look like they're ready to drop, gone through just one chief of staff, right? But I don't know how much longer Kelly's going to be there. So here's my thought, and I know about your panic from the other day when you said, okay, now it's a big thing for the for Roy Moore's candidacy. It's okay. He's not going to win. There's enough people who right now are... There's a lot of daddies down in Alabama. And I'm a daddy. I've got two girls. And I had a predator living next to me at a time when my girls were growing up. And I didn't know he was a predator until all of a sudden the police department came and started searching through the house. And I said, excuse me, can I help you? Got any girls? Yes. And all the hair on the back of my neck went vertical. So I know what I would do if I had been the daddy of one of those girls that Roy was, hanging over down at the Gadsden Mall or in a restaurant.
Over to the old Hickory House.
I'd go and I'd find his office and I'd say, sir, I think what you've done is inappropriate. I expect I'll never see you doing that to anyone that I come in contact with again. And if he didn't heed those words, well, there are consequences to actions.
People slip and fall at Nakalula Falls all the time. That's a nature area, Nakalula Falls near Gadsden.
I kind of gathered. We have Tequamanon up here in Michigan. So, there's too many daddies. There's too many mamas that are going to go.
Well, that's probably
nobody's going to know who they're going to go into the booth, okay, and they're going to, and some of them are going to vote for the Democrat, and some of them are just going to fold the ballot up and put it in the box unmarked. I don't think he's going to win. My mentat projection is, now, it's not a lock. It's a squeaker. And there's lawsuits coming after. at least two. Mark my words, okay? Mark them down here.
Who's suing whom?
Well,
because I would dearly love for him to sue the Washington Post.
Well, that's not going to happen, okay? Because you were correct the other day. Truth is an absolute defense, and he cannot risk that. He also cannot risk discovery, which comes and you are not precluded. You are not excluded from answering questions if you're doing a civil suit.
No, and in discovery, you answer, or else you wind up answering to the judge on a motion to compel, which runs the bill up.
Right, or puts you in contempt. And, no, the lawsuits will be post-election. One of them will depend on whether or not Republicans manage to disassociate him from the campaign enough that they basically say, no, he's not one of ours anymore, and so therefore he didn't run, and therefore we have to start over. He will file a suit against them over that. If it's under 10% of the vote, he'll file a suit for a recount. They're both coming from Roy.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, that makes some sense.
They're both coming from Roy.
I see it at this point, Marcy, as being a matter of this is now a classic, typical retail politics get out the vote election.
It is.
It was going to be a sleepy little off year weird election until all this broke.
It was going to be that. And when you talked, I heard the night when you talked about the 7% of the registered, and I'll even say 7% of the registered Republicans, okay, was all that he managed to scrape together. And that's not a very big group of people.
And that's the part that sort of blows my mind, Marcy. Why do, I mean, all these brilliant analysts that are out all over the, I think I'm the only one. I mean, maybe some others have mentioned it since, but I was the only one who was on that.
Yeah, you're the only one who I've heard it from. And I was doing the numbers on the fly with you, and you were absolutely right, you know, when you did the analysis. And that was down from the first runoff.
Yes.
So over, and like I say, even consider for a moment that it's unlikely that very many Democrats voted in either of those two elections. Okay? Now's the time. Now's the time to get me. Please, if you are in Alabama, if you can hear my voice, if you love your country, if you love your freedoms, if you love your children, get off of your goddamned ass and go and vote. And not for Roy.
Yeah, I forget
what the name of the guy is that's running against him.
Doug Jones.
Okay, simple name. I ought to remember that. Please go vote for Doug. It's really, really, really important.
It absolutely is. Now let's back up and remember who was running in the horse race part of the Republican primary, Marcy. The three top contenders were Big Luther Strange. And I'm still amazed that I didn't see any
Les
signs.
Brains.
And there was Mo Brooks, Les Brames.
Right.
And there was Roy Tolamore. He, Mo Brooks, Les Brames was chased down a stairwell in the Capitol today by a reporter asking, are you still supporting Roy Moore? And Mo Brooks, Les Brames, answer was, Doug Jones will get in here and won't care about the unborn, and Doug Jones will, in other words, and he's just going to vote with the Democrats, and that's why I'm going to vote for Roy Moore. Marcy, I take it you don't have a lot of, and this, I'm not talking down or anything, but you don't have much of a nexus with Alabama, do you?
Nope, can't say that I do.
Okay,
I understand where you're coming from. I really do. because I've run across, there's a couple of people up here who are all about the fetuses. And
oh no, Michigan has more than its fair share of fetus fondlers.
You know, I've got people. You don't have to go very far away from Detroit before you find Michigan hillbillies, okay? And they're just like you guys, except they've got a nasal twang. You know, mm-hmm. They're not soft voice, okay? They got it up here in the nasal.
Yeah, right. I know. I hate to say it, but one of my first experiences with that accent. And, you know, emphasis on that, saying that accent is another way of saying Yankee, was my ninth grade. It was her first year teaching anywhere. She was a recent graduate of Michigan State University, and she was a wonderful Latin teacher. But we all just sort of cocked our heads and looked at her when she started talking the first time because we wasn't sure that was English.
Well, that's...
her long eyes were so crisp and so sharp, they almost had a cutting quality to them. And it was up in her nose. Aye. And wow.
I'm remembering an incident when I was in college and working at a place that it's got a lot of tourists that come through, and there was this a group from Tennessee that came through, and I was just making small talk with one of the gals, and I said, you know what, I said, how do you like it here? And she said, oh, it's fine, except, you know, y'all talk so funny. And it took me about 30 seconds to recover from laughing, mm-hmm. because... You know, it's everyone's got an accent. It's just, you know, from where you aren't, type of thing.
Well, that's precisely it. Wait a minute, I got a jingle for that. Yeah, from where it's from where you aren't. But you know, you see how we've settled into the conversation, Marcy. See how it works. I mean, isn't it lovely?
It is. And every time I've talked to you, it's been great. And like I say, I should have done some more of my Zen exercises because I listened to the gas bag. I listened to him do. Okay. Roy used to be a Democrat. I don't give a good goddamn what he was. Okay.
When Roy was a Democrat, everybody in Alabama was a Democrat. Goddamn. I mean, that's another program for another day, Marcy. Why can't Alabama tolerate a two-party system?
Well, it doesn't matter about the two-party system. He's a freaking predator.
Well, there's that too. But I was
he's
big picture.
He's not changed. He's gonna still. He still looks. He looks at 20-year-olds and 18-year-olds now. I don't have to know the guy to know that that's the case.
Yeah.
He grooms. Okay.
Do you know what his nickname was in Vietnam?
Oh,
Captain America.
I was going to say, I probably don't want to know.
Captain America and people who served with him, he was, you know, he's a West Point grad and everything, spit shined and polished and you know, all of that, you know, and got
How
on.
How did that get out of West Point? How did that get into West Point?
Beats the living daylights. Well, I mean, he got an appointment from some Democratic congressperson. Or Democratic senator.
Those people actually have to think. Every person I've ever known to come out, and I've known a number of people who have come out of the academies, every single one of them has a brain.
Yeah, not all. I mean, come on. Remember, John McCain graduated last in his class at Annapolis.
Okay.
Just saying.
Stand corrected.
But here's now for people who experienced Vietnam, this will be telling. He got on the ground. He's a young commissioned officer, fresh out of West Point. He gets on the ground in Vietnam and insists upon being snapped to salute by everyone who is subordinate to him because he, by God, is an officer.
I'm flashing to the scene in Forrest Gump. where Gary Sinise says, no, don't salute me because snipers.
Yeah, because they because the Viet Cong were particularly adept at taking out officers. And it was a known thing.
I would do that.
It was a known thing on the ground in Vietnam. Ain't nobody saluting nobody.
And it's a smart way to do it. I mean, I would do that.
And the other thing is, sentient being in the chat room just said, too bad he didn't get fragged. In his own autobiography, and this goes to the totality of the mindset, okay? In his own autobiography, he talks about how he slept with sandbags because his own men had said they would frag him. Okay, so you've got an authoritarian little martinet.
So this is another Kurtz, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know.
At least in the wartime.
Yeah, I mean, Kurtz started out as something much worse. He's probably the Robert Duvall guy with the when I say it's safe to surf, it's safe to surf.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah, I can go along with that.
And the you know the little girl stuff, it all fits.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, and that's why I say this is a predator, and
I suspect you know what you said about daddy's going and saying you know I'd appreciate you not and I don't want to ever see. Well, that's probably the undercurrent that winds up with him being banned from the Gadsden Mall. I mean, I can travel back in time, and I can see that place because I hung out in its spiritual sister mall up in the Shoals. You went there, you walked, and you saw, and you got saw, and you know with your peer group, and oh my God, yeah. And
you had the arcade, and you had the movies.
Absolutely.
And you just went wandering from store to store, making sure that you didn't spend too much time in any given one so that the manager come along and say,
right, and
something or not.
And, you know, there was always some creeper dude. And everybody knew it.
I must have lived a freaking sheltered life because, you know what, growing up at that time, I don't remember any of those.
Well, where you were growing up probably had more outlets for energies and creativity. But, I mean, he was the total package. Yeah, there are, I mean, like, okay, so high school sports and college sports are big in the South, and God knows they're big in Michigan. But a community defines itself by its high school in many instances when there's little else other than the high school. And so he was a regular at high school sports, at high school football games, even though he didn't have anybody playing. And you know, he always sat on the same stool at the counter at the old Hickory House. And even that, I read that and went, oh my God, really? Yeah. And the picking up the little girl who was you know what 15, and trying to force her to fellate him. It's absolutely
yeah, that's the one that I don't understand. I do, okay, I really do, but I guess you know having raised three kids, and I had a conversation with my son about some of this sort of thing probably a couple months ago, and the way he responded to what I was talking about, which was essentially, you know, if I ever found out that you had done something like this, you don't have to worry about the fact that, you know, I'm on hormones and I've lost some body mass and stuff like that. I'll come and hunt you down. And he's like, he essentially gave me the assurance that, he would likely be the one that would wanting to be hunting down people himself. So, in a purely
and see, as is so often
in a purely civil and judicious manner, doing a citizen's arrest for the local constabulary. Just want to make sure that Agent Fred isn't worried about
I completely understand. And see,
the freedom protector stuff,
right? But you know, you add this into the fact that he comes back from Vietnam, and what is he? Well, the hell won't hold him till he's in law school. And that's where he gets known as fruit salad.
Yeah,
because he's so mixed up. And there's lots of people who remember him, and they uniformly do not remember him well. I don't mean their memory is poor. I mean they remember quite well what a creeper he was.
It's not a positive experience. No, I get it, and that's why I say, you know, and I guess part of the whole package that I see is.
And he signed the little girls. How many 32-year-old guys sign little girls' high school yearbooks?
Maybe if they're a teacher, okay? But that's about it. You just happen to be the DA, and you know what? Okay, my kids have all gotten signatures from teachers that really made an impact on them, okay? And they've had a number. And they got yearbooks, you know, going back as far as elementary school when they did the real little cheapo ones, okay? Not one has ever signed off with love.
No.
None.
No.
Zero.
I was a nerd. Well, yeah. And I remember just going up to girls in my class who, and I was just like, "Yeah, will you sign it, please?" I mean, because I was like, you know, please don't reject me.
Oh God, yeah, that was a terrifying thing. That was absolutely terrifying, you know.
And you know, looking back, there's some precious stuff. There's one where a classmate of mine, a guy, said in he wrote, "In 5 years, we'll all be listening to you on when you go to work for Ted Turner." And
there you did.
Wasn't much more than 5 years, but you know, it happened. But so no, you don't. And the thing is, there's something inherently creepy about signing that yearbook. That and he signs it, Roy Moore, DA.
And so, is that a power play? Because
that's a reminder.
I want to make sure that you know that they'll believe me and not you, like he said to the one girl in the car.
That's the same girl. That's the same girl.
Then it's just a reminder, yeah. I just, like I say, when I see all this kind of crap, and Roy's been a real raspberry seed in my wisdom tooth, because the smart thing, okay, by the way, here, for the Alabama Republicans, do you want to know what the smart thing to do is? The smart thing to do is for 8 of you to go to Roy and tell him he's leaving the race right now. Because if I understand the Alabama Secretary of State correctly, the election becomes null and void, and then your governor gets to appoint another fill-in for a little bit longer, and you can go and try and find someone who's not an utter skeeve.
And for that reason,
the power is.
But for that reason, I want him to.
Vital.
For that reason, I want him to stay doubled down. I want him to stay in the race. I want him to lose.
Oh, so do I. But I'm just, you know, the prospect. My take on it is anything that gets him further away. Anything.
Yeah. Yeah, and remember, even if Doug Jones wins, he has to run again in 20. And so that has to be part of the calculus where they say to themselves, look, the longest he can be in there is till 20. And that gives us, that gives us, a year and 11 months to come up with somebody who isn't, you know, Roy Moore.
Here's some more calculus for you. Letting Doug win this time, okay, just backing off. Letting it happen will solidify the fuzzy Republican senators. McCain won't jump ship. He'll stay on a very short leash because he won't want to upset the rest of the establishment. Same with Collins and Murkowski.
And Flake, yeah.
And
to the extent that that bunch did much ship jumping in the first place. I mean, I still remember what they did after.
Well, I know what they're doing now with the, you know, with the judicial appointments. But the thing is, you know, on some things they have managed to not fuck us over.
Yeah. Although, by the way, but we got to get out of here. By the way, they're on the way to that again because they're going to wrap a repeal of the. Mandate.
I heard that too.
In the Affordable Care Act,
into the tax code,
because that will effectively kill the Affordable Care Act without having to say we're killing the Affordable Care Act. There's one little wrinkle, and probably I'm the guy who should not be asking this, but wrapped into the analysis every time on this is that young healthy Americans will not purchase insurance if they don't have to, and they'll instead blah, 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 blah. And I keep asking myself, because I want to have more faith in young America, because they're going to be running this joint when I'm gumming my cream corn. Really, you're that stupid? You don't think you're ever going to get sick? I mean, we talk about these things as paradigms, the bulletproof thing, that sort of thing. But so young healthy Americans who don't have much need for health care and for whom it's not that costly in the first place are going to say, oh hell no, because I've got to spend more money on avocado toast. I just don't have that little faith. But then again, there's a lot of Republicans, and who knows?
I can't, you know, I'd like to think that way too, that like you do with there being more faith. But I do see a lot of millennial types that are just, you know, it's fine, you know, it's like, okay.
Yeah,
well,
it is until the NRA death lottery wheel lands on your town.
Right, absolutely. But here's the last takeaway that I'll give. It's a marathon, folks. It's an absolute marathon. We got to keep the pressure on, okay? So all of the good work that's been done to get the senators and the representatives to not screw us so far this year, we got to keep it up. Because, let's remember, he's not getting impeached. He's not getting 25th Amendmented, if that's a word. The only way for him to leave is by resignation or at the end of term.
Or by natural process.
Unlikely. So it's likely that he's going to go for the rest of the 3 years. Just have to keep up the pressure. Don't push too hard. Just keep pushing.
And keep standing up for what matters and what you believe.
And what is right.
Right. Not just for you, but for the country.
For the country.
Indeed. Marcy, it's been a lovely conversation. I hope
Thank
you agree.
Thank you, Bob.
And
I absolutely agree.
Chime in just any time, okay?
I try to do that occasionally, and today I got some things off my chest.
Well, good for you. Good for you. And we'll talk soon, I hope. You take care.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bob.
And that is that. We are a little over time, 6 minutes past the hour. We will begin tomorrow with a $460 fundraising goal because this was a tough night. But those things happen. It'll come down a couple of bucks overnight. That's, you know, 10, 20, 30, something like that. But that's where we are. And hopefully you'll be here for prayer meeting Wednesday as we pass the heavy brass-bound velvet-lined plates. Sneezing, sorry. Until then, thanks go out, as ever, to all of you who spend your precious finite time engaged in this conversation. Thanks go out to the people, a significantly smaller percentage of the other group, who contribute to keep the program on the air. And thanks go out to our all-volunteer staff, Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox and Ben Birch. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.